Well, this is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down again this morning with Charles Oskey, Superintendent of Johnson County Schools. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Kate.
It's so nice to see you. It's a bright and crisp October morning out there, and I'm sure you're getting your Halloween costume just fine-tuned and finished off, right?
Yes. We'll keep it as a simple yes for now as I think about it over the weekend.
Well, I'm excited to see what you come as. One thing we've been talking about, and I think everybody in our community is aware of, is that there's just doesn't seem to be enough people to do the jobs that we want them to do. Efficiency seems to become more and more of an issue. Some of our restaurants are unable to open as much as they would like to. Lots of people have signs on their doors saying we're hiring. We certainly see that in all sorts of sectors of our community, nurses, CNAs especially. That's really being felt very acutely across the healthcare service. Are you seeing the same thing in a school district?
Yeah, this is a great conversation. We are, and it's not Johnson County, but it's statewide. Had an opportunity to visit with basically HR people in Sheridan County and do a presentation last week, and it's in all forms of industry and education. And here in Johnson County, to be specific, yeah, let's talk about the classified staff. We've put some emphasis on raising salaries and putting a new salary schedule to be competitive. We just last month raised our sub rates for the classified piece. But it's not making a big change. I mean, the main focus is to try to increase salaries, but the pool is not there. We're struggling district-wide, so it's that creativity that I guess the phrase that I'd like to use, every day is an opportunity to be creative in some way to make sure we meet the needs of what we have to provide in the district. But yeah, transportation right now is a topic in the district, and you know, whether we increase the wages or we try to find some way to offer benefits, but I think it's more than that. It's just not. What we're seeing statewide, nationwide, is even by increasing the salaries, it shifts some people from, it gets to be competition. Here in Johnson County, you're still shifting the same number of people. They're not coming out of the woodworks just to work. What that does is kind of cause a shift between different organizations or that competitive piece that's happening within the community. And as far as the school district goes, it's, for example, transportation. We're going to have to start looking outside the box of that creativity piece. If we can't offer the benefits or the salaries to be competitive with other industries, which really can raise their revenues by increasing the price to the consumer, which is what we see. We're kind of within that block schedule. This is the amount of money you have. This is what you work with. I know transportation is reimbursable, but not all of transportation is reimbursable, and it's only reimbursable a year later. But routes, and maybe we need to look at feeder routes, maybe look at smaller vehicles. So maybe we need to start looking at a different level, because let's be real. It takes a special person to want to drive a big, huge yellow bus with a lot of kids. There's a lot of responsibility. You know, and you see some districts that are, you know, maybe we do more feeder routes with smaller vehicles where it doesn't require as much training or criteria, but still provide the training. So it's a safe transportation piece, what they looks like. We're trying to encourage our paras or people who want more hours to potentially help drive some of our low number kids, maybe in a suburban or a smaller vehicle, and you know, maybe look at transforming our fleets statewide. Even going to having a conversation with the state transportation, as they said, we'd like legislation to change so we can maybe reimburse rural parents at a different way, an easier way, so then we don't, these rural routes that go a long ways out can be funded differently and parents can be reimbursed and we can focus on the buses doing more local pickups. So there are things in motion, but we just can't talk about it. We have to really start looking at it. And I think that's the direction that not only we are headed in Johnson County, but statewide.
Okay, so currently, what is Johnson County School District able to provide in terms of transport to and from school? They're not in town.
So right now, within the city limits, we don't have the drivers to provide that. So most of it is without outside city limits, kind of following within the rules and regulations that follow there. Activities, we've been able to meet all the activity needs at this point, but winter season is starting. We're going to lose a couple bus drivers due to health and other reasons here in the next month. So that's going to be a struggle. We're down a mechanic, but I don't want to do the doom and gloom. We've had an opportunity. Our transportation director, Dennis, is out for family reasons, and we're coming together with his team, and we're meeting every Monday. And man, I want to put out the creativity, and I want to say thank you to the extra time and effort that they're putting in to kind of meet the challenges that not only happen on a daily basis, but a weekly basis. So that collaboration between KC and the people that have stepped up as drivers to help with the scheduling and put in the extra time. And, you know, Tim, who is kind of trying to fill the shoes. We've had some great meetings over the last 2 weeks. And I say great in a way is there's a lot of transparency. There's a lot of honesty, you know, coming up with a solution for a problem is what I love about that the most. We're being creative. I mean, it's really easy to sit in the world and say, oh, can't do this, don't want to do that. But that's not what I'm hearing. Okay, what's best for kids? What can we do? We are obviously limited, but that means a little extra time here or there. I love that approach and that atmosphere. And we're seeing it the same in all, even with our food service people. Had a great meeting with that team. Super impressed with their positive attitude, knowing what their limits are, but willing to put in the extra time. I know our custodial staff is putting in a lot of extra time. So all of our classified, even to our paras, are just, there's so much time and effort being put in because we don't have a pool of subs for classified. We don't have a pool of subs that for people in the transportation or the food service area. So when somebody's gone, that means just somebody has to pick up their responsibility. And, you know, it goes into the teachers too. We were very fortunate to hire all of our certified teaching positions, but in theory, with the same thing happened to us as happened in majority districts around the state, is that pretty much wiped out our subbing pool. So, you know, that creativity of teachers are gone, you have to cover classes, those type of things. And, you know, if there are parents or anybody in the community that wants to get certified to be a sub, we've been working with Sheridan College to start that program up again so we can get you registered with the PTSB to be in the schools. So we're trying and moving forward, but we just still need to find that pool of people that are willing to do it.
So one thing that, you know, I think we coming out of this conversation is that just throwing money at salaries is not finding the people. It is not the solution to the problem. So we need to start thinking differently about that. One thread that I have noticed as we've been talking over the recent weeks and months is just how much regulation is required with, you know, to be adhered to within a school district. How much is that going to hinder you kind of creatively problem solving? So, for example, you know, you talked about feeder routes or, you know, maybe having some kind of parent pools of for vehicles transporting kids to and from school in rural or outlying areas. How much of that are you going to just hit a roadblock by state regulation, and how easy is it going to be to find solutions to these problems?
Yeah, those are great things. There are going to be roadblocks, but I also want to say if working with the state and try to work with legislators to change state laws so that we do that, and some of those roadblocks is actually just an interpretation of the rules. So, you know, being more proactive in working with the state, every division of the Wyoming Department of Ed with rules and regulations, I have not had one that just flat says no. I mean, they said, hey, well, let's be creative. Let's talk about this. What can you and can't you do? What will we approve? We just have to really take the approach of, okay, what is the interpretation? What can we do? Ask for permission, not forgiveness. Don't do it and then ask for forgiveness. We need to be kind of proactive and say, hey, this is our situation, this is our limits, this is the statute that's impacting us. How can we be creative so we can meet the needs of our kids? So it's a lot of work of, some people call it politicking, I call it front loading, having conversations, which slows down the process. And I think that can be a frustration to our stakeholders too, is, well, just make the decision, just get it done. Well, there isn't. There's things that we have to do, or we have to get permission to do from the state level, because it is state funding. And people say, well, we're taxpayers. I hear that a lot. You're right, you're taxpayers. But the funds that we receive are under certain guidelines to make sure that we're doing things correctly. And there's just state statutes for a reason. So, and you know what? I've come to find out a lot of times over my years in administration, it's an interpretation. So, you know, just really making sure you sit down, and it could be, have to be a face-to-face conversation to say, can we do this? And I've been told no, but I've also been told yes. And so my opinion is, ask, re-ask, and ask again. Mm-hmm. And then maybe after the third time, if it's still no, then you know you've taken every avenue that you can, and you try something different. So it's just a regroup of things. But there are a lot of rules and regulations that sometimes limit what we can and can't do. You know, just simply putting somebody in front of kids in a school, for a sub, they have to be certified. And so you have to go through a training, there's requirements, you know, and that can be fearful. Let's talk about that. Asking people to go through a training and get certified to be a sub.
I was going to ask you, what do you actually have to do to be a sub?
So there's classwork, there's observations.
Do you have to have a minimum education requirement yourself?
If you don't, then there's classes you can take, or if you simply have 60 plus hours of post-secondary education, then that will allow you. But then there's training, because we want to make sure that we put in front of kids, they're leading kids by themselves, first of all, are safe, have the proper training. When you get in front of a classroom of kids and you're transitioning from one assignment to the other and following lesson plans, and it just takes a very special skill set. And if you ever sub for a day, it's not only a skill set, it can be exhausting.
I'm sure.
You know, because in most cases, you don't have that relationship. And but effective teaching, teachers have classroom routines, and kids, let's talk, kids are awesome. Let's not put it on that, oh, walking in is bad. You know, for the most part, subbing can be enjoyable, depending on what level, if it's set up correctly with kids. Because if you have any love for kids at all, they are kids. And it's different between elementary and it is high school. You'll get a lot of hugs in the elementary, you know, and middle school is, they're going through that transition in life that it's going to be a little different. But if you have a niche and you like any of those age levels, you know, reach out to the building administrators and we'll figure out a way to, and the key word is, we'll be creative to get you into the buildings, all right?
So if somebody was sort of interested in thinking that they'd like to be a sub, there's a process, an enrollment process, a training process. Is there a fee associated with that?
We will pay for that fee.
Okay, so it's not out of your pocket.
Right now, I'm going to make that public statement right now. If somebody wants to get certified, let's talk to their building administration. They'll bring it up to us and we'll get it in place, because we need people. So
okay.
I don't want that to be a cost.
Okay. And what is a sub life like? You know, are you kind of, are you tied in? Can you be flexible? It sounds like you have a very kind
of
open
you get a pick and choose. You know, it'll come across, hey, we need a sub. It's very consistent. Most of the schools organize and schedule them. And it's just different. Your elementary obviously has routines, one classroom. Your middle school and high school, you'll get classes that kind of rotate throughout the day. There's just, you know, it's kind of just a little bit different environment. But I would encourage any community member, parent, or stakeholder, if you want to know what the day's like, set up a day with a principal and maybe do an observation. All you have to do is have your driver's license to go check in, and we can work through a building administration to get an opportunity to kind of say, hey, I want to be a sub. What would this be like?
Okay. And so You go in, are you expected to actually teach each different subject during the day that comes up in
there
that
should
class?
Be lesson plans ready, so you just present and, hey, here's what we're covering, technology. We have some teachers that already have pre-done lessons. You just have to get the lesson up and oversee the kids and make sure they're following the directions that were written by the certified teacher. So.
Okay. So that's sub-life.
That is sub-life. And, you know, and it's the same, you know, bus driver's a little different. Obviously, you have to still have to have your CDL. You have to have lots of things. We just can't put anybody behind a bus. You know, the kitchen is has a little bit more flexibility, but each one of those levels has a different thing. But yeah, anybody that's interested in doing any subbing, whether it's classified or certified or anything across the road, and if you don't know where to go, come here to the central office, talk with Heidi. She will either direct you or get you signed up. So we are open to anybody who just wants, out of curiosity, to say, hey, I could do this on an occasion type of thing, and we'd love to have you.
And so what's your remuneration like for subs? Do you pay well?
We just bumped it up. So it's subs are getting, got moved up to the base salary. It was very low. So that was the next transition to happen after we raised the base salaries for all the classified. So we did increase the classified sub salaries to basically the starting rate of any one of those positions.
Okay.
Sub rate for certified staff, I think, is teaching. It's in half day increments, but it's $126 a day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're talking a little bit about real world challenges. I don't know what isn't the real world, but we're talking a little bit about those challenges and throwing money at positions, throwing money at people doesn't seem to be solving everything. And the teaching profession has, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how it's a less interesting, maybe less rewarding profession than it was because of outside forces. Are you seeing that in Johnson County too?
Yeah. And the throwing the money, and there's been a lot of that. You know, a lot of ESSER funds have been used to say, hey, we're going to throw money at this. We're going to give an incentive to stay. But where the struggle we are, especially at our level, you know, 1,200 kid size districts around the state, is when ESSER funds are gone, we have to have a balanced budget. And the implementation, we have some positions that we're funding right now through ESSER, but the reality is we've got to find that way within the general budget, or there's reductions. And a lot of districts have put some money into their base salaries. However, when ESSERs are, they've done that with ESSER funds, when the ESSER funds go away, they've got to have a balanced budget. And as of right now, you know, historically, legislation shows that they haven't been consistent with giving ECAs, or they have not raised the base rate of how we pay employees. And I know I've used this as an example, but base reimbursement from the state is $38,000, and most district salaries bases are anywhere from $45,000 to $48,000. So that $10,000 is coming out of the block grant in different areas. So We really just need to continue to work with our legislators and understand where we have to be competitive, and you know, make sure that the way the block grant is funded is more appropriate to the day and age that we're in. I love the slogan, "The world needs more cowboys," by the University of Wyoming, and not getting any copyrights or anything like that, but I think the state of Wyoming, and this is what I believe in, the world needs more teachers. The world needs more educators. These are the people that impact kids for a lifetime. It's a special skill set to be a teacher. It really is. And to get that encouraging piece. And if you look back and look at any educator, they probably went into the field because somebody, one of their teachers, they were connected, they felt good, this is a profession, they were excited about what they were doing, and more people were going into the profession. And reality is, it's not the University of Wyoming that's failing in producing teachers. They don't have people wanting to go into the profession. And I think as a society and as a community in general, we need to change. And even at the state level, while teachers aren't doing their job, we're not getting the bang for our buck, well, if people are always hearing this, it's not the career you want to go into. if it's always that impression that teaching is not a great place to be. So I think we need to change our approach and recognize that teaching can be a very rewarding career. I mean, obviously it's not going to be like a professional athlete that makes, you know, $1.2 million a year, but it can be a very rewarding, and it can be a career that you can, you know, feed the needs of your family and still raise a family appropriately and not have to hold down two or three jobs. Because our kids are our future. Mm-hmm. And economists will show that. The education and what you provide kids impacts the economy and what we do 10 to 20 years down the road. So this is a really valuable asset that with what we do.
So there's not only the issue of attracting teachers per se to the profession, then there's how do you attract them to Johnson County? How do you feel that Johnson County School District is faring compared to other places?
We are on the road to being the district that I want every teacher that's available to come to and say, this is the reason why I want to teach.
And what do you think are those components that
I think it's that focus of culture, that rewarding, what we just went to this morning with the Compass Breakfast, looking at all the people that support kids and the school. What you guys did with the Right Road and over 100 volunteers on site. You know what, when you come to a community and a district that's supported the way it is for kids, that's what I consider a benefit, part of the benefit package of where you are. You walk into our schools and you see, people don't see this, but let me back up. I just went to a peer review in another district. Walking through their rooms and seeing the minimal infrastructure, the minimal supplies, the minimal things that they have to teach with, and then come back and come into our classrooms and say, we're very fortunate, really is another incentive. What are we doing to support teachers? Are we giving them the tools and the access that they need? I think those are things that people talk about and saying, hey, you know what, we feel supported. The community supports us. We're, you know, we live next to the Bighorns. There's things like that. We support you with professional development. We have a focus. So if you look at a lot of talk about culture and relationships, professional relationships, that can be a very attractive tool to any district. And that's similar to what I did in my previous district. We were the lowest base pay, and people had to drive anywhere from 90 to 140 miles round trip to come work for us, but they still did. And so creating those environments here and culture is the direction we are headed. And, you know, it's most small school districts are the same way. It's that feeling supported, doing what you can do with kids, and just creating a system like our teacher evaluation system. I know we don't see it yet, but in a couple years, I don't want it to be referred to as an evaluation system. I want it to be referred to as a growth model. I want teachers to feel supported and move in a direction that's best for the culture of the district, but the community also.
So how long do you think it's going to take till you can say, oh, we're making some roads. I think we're getting there.
Well, I think we can already say we're headed in the right direction. But if you look at historically of some of these very strong districts that have year after year people are going to and attracted to, I mean, it's anywhere from 6 to 12 years. But the reality is we've got to do that safety check every year and make sure we're headed there. And when I say it takes that long a time, it's when it becomes entrenched in the culture that we're in, that this is what we believe, not what I believe. I want to make that very clear. This is not what Charles believes. I want the system to say, this is what we believe. This is what Johnson County believes in. This is how we do business, because it's best for kids, not because this is because we always done it this way. We need to explain why we're doing it and how it benefits kids. And I think we just got some really great people on board, and I think we're headed in the right direction. And we're taking that first step forward.
So are you seeing in your teaching staff, are you seeing stability there? Are you seeing people staying? Or
I do, but honestly, I mean, they're in the same boat. There's just like that national survey. I mean, there's probably 50% of the people towards the end of their retirement. And you know what? We want to yep, I only have 2 years to retire. I would like it to be the other way. Hey, I might stick it out a couple more years and start doing a mentoring, and hopefully we can start creating some of that type of positive stuff. Because we've got to recognize we have some veteran teachers in this community that have some real solid skill sets that can help the younger generation too as we move up through and continue to recruit and retain. And you hear a lot about that. What are you doing to recruit? And then more importantly, what are you doing to retain when you have a national average that over 50% of your teachers leave the business after the first 3 to 5 years? Is that retention piece is not only about, isn't all about finances. Everybody says, well, just raise the base, they'll stay. No, it's about what systems do you have and support? And some of those support systems are your veteran and your teachers that have been here a while. And this is a national fact. It's a stat. There's nothing that states a certain level of degree makes you a great teacher. It's experience. It's real world. It's that thing. It's scores. And it's those, some of those master teachers don't have a PhD, and there's some people with PhDs that are wonderful at what they do, but we've got to start tapping into those teachers that have been in the trenches for 30 years and are still there. And more importantly, they teach with a passion. You walk into their classroom and you go, oh my gosh, I want to sit down and I want to learn from them, you know, because they're excited about what they're doing. Well, how can you stay excited for 30 plus years and love what you're doing? Well, it's because they're doing some things right. So let's tap into some of those things, right?
Okay. I was going to ask you what you do just about being a veteran, but feeling somewhat burned out and that it's repetitive. And how do you retain that? How do you retain that kind of dynamic enthusiasm for going in and doing it again another year?
Yep.
And especially when it seems that there is more assault on professionals, just generally, verbally, especially of people questioning and undermining their ability, maybe parents or other people, you know, kind of questioning professional conduct, etc. You know, how do you work against those things? And that's just not isolated to teaching.
No, and some of it is what we're doing right here, is explaining the challenges that we do have and just recognizing them verbally. excuse me, just some of the team meetings we've had with some of the different programs is they just want to be recognized. They want to know, you know, hey, just say thank you, or feel welcome to a training. You know, the whole idea is, you know, all the classified, which is not new to me, but it's new to some of them, is you really are inviting us to the guest speaker. Absolutely, you're invited. And more importantly, we're going to pay you because they have some good things to say, and it ties into your job and doing all those different things, and hopefully the little things that will start creating that culture.
I think what you're describing is actually perceived value, is that people feel valued and valuable and recognized and encouraged and nurtured. And we all do better in those environments.
And you hear me say this a lot, but that's what Harry Wong taught us 30 years ago, with saying, stand out in the hallway and say hi to a kid. Okay, quality education is based on recognizing the kids at where they're at, showing that you value them, okay? And not saying you're their friend, you're gonna still say, hey, you gotta do your homework, this is what you do, and holding them achievement, but building that. Well, it's human beings, and that's the business we're in, so it should be the same for adults. You know, we talked about Josh Varner and the, you know, what he presented, and we talked about the trauma care in education. Well, first thing he talks about is, you know, get to know your kids. Know what they did over the weekend. Know what they're doing. Well, I just went back in flashbacks, and nothing against him, but that's the exact same comment that Harry Wong made to us 30 years ago, and he didn't invent it. He just looked back what good teaching had happened in when he was growing up through that process. So we should be doing the same thing with adults as employees. Is we have to, and I've had many hard conversations. No, I can't give you that. No, I can't do this, but I respect you for what you're doing. I thank you. I know it's not change in the pocket, but hopefully with time they know I do care. I know I want them, my administrators, to have those relationships, but I appreciate the word value, that there is a value in what you do, and the community needs to hear that all of our classified staff, all the people that make sure kids have an opportunity to learn beyond the teachers, there's a value, and I recognize that, and so kudos to them.
Well, it's definitely no easy fix and requires a multifaceted approach. And so on, one place that does seem to be getting a lot of media attention and seems to be a tricky environment to navigate right now is libraries. And
yes,
school districts and public libraries are getting enmeshed together. There's been conversation at a state level about that, and different school districts around Wyoming, parents and members of the public have made their points of view very clear. It is definitely a boiling pot right now. What is happening in Johnson County?
Yeah. So first of all, I appreciate the conversation and the question. Instead of bouncing around it, it is a very hot topic. You referenced it as a boiling pot. And what are we doing in Johnson County? We have an amazing librarian, Leanne, who is very conservative. And we have systems in place. And so just to reassure, if there's questions or concerns about what is potentially in our libraries, reach out to the building administrators, reach out to Leanne. We've had good conversation about age appropriateness, what should be in each building. And if it's something that's of question, we have probably hundreds of thousands of books. So we don't know everything, because some of these books that are of question and concern have been in public libraries, let's be honest, for 30 or 40 years. With that understanding, they might have been pulled off the shelf or dusted off or looked at them, but we need to start looking at that, taking a proactive approach of what comes into the district that's new, to really know where it is and whether it's appropriate for our district, and vetting some of this. But just listening with Leanne and her passion for what she does, she is definitely open to conversations, and just plan on taking 15 to 20 minutes afterwards to have her show you what she has set up virtually for kids to read, and how parents can be involved and oversee what their kids are reading to make sure that we're not doing something inappropriate. And then if you do find something, then that chain of communication. So what I'm going to encourage, not only here, because I know we have systems in place and people that care, but you've got to reach out and follow the system. And if there's something that's a gotcha, let's know about it, let's fix it. But it's much easier to hear it in person than through a social media post or something like this. But I will guarantee you, Johnson County has been thrown into that pot of all school districts are doing this, and I disagree. Every district is different, we can't just assume that public education in Johnson County falls under that umbrella that we're all doing it, because I would disagree with that. Will I say we're perfect? No, because we can't guarantee we don't know everything, but if you do find something, let's bring it to the table and have a discussion. We have a process. We have a committee. We'll go through it, and whether it's age appropriate, where it should be, whether it should even be in our libraries, but we have a process in place, and I don't want anybody in Johnson County to say, oh, they're trying to hide something. I'm being just the opposite. I might be the opposite of some leadership around the nation and say, let us do our job. No, the job is to be as transparent as we can, and if something comes up, we will try to have a professional conversation and follow the processes so we can do what's best for kids.
And leading on from that, we've agreed we're going to sit down with Leanne, and we will talk about that process.
Absolutely.
And we will bring that to you, 307 Net Radio listeners. We will bring that to you so you can understand what that process is. And we will be visiting with Leanne, and she can explain it. And
that will be a very high-energy conversation, so I'm excited for it.
Good, and I'm looking forward to it, too. Well, Charles, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say on this beautiful, sunny morning?
We got state playoff football today in both KC
Yay!
And Buffalo, so good luck to both the Buckaroos and the Bison here tonight. We got volleyball headed off to regionals. We wrapped up with cross country. We just have a lot of our swim teams, and let's celebrate everything that's going on in the schools in addition to, and that's a lot of volunteer time. And more importantly, thank you to the community members and stakeholders that listen to this, and for you for providing the opportunity. And we will visit next week. Yeah, we're going to visit a couple times next week.
We are.
Good.
We've got a busy week coming up. Well, thank you, Charles. Enjoy your weekend. A well-deserved break, I hope, for you.